Hello, and welcome to Awesome Leaders, Lessons for Food Business Success, a podcast aimed at supporting the development and growth of women-owned food and beverage processing businesses in the Canadian prairies. Our guests include industry experts, as well as food and beverage entrepreneurs to provide knowledge, real-world examples, and inspiration. My name is Carly, and on behalf of the Awesome Program, I'll be your host today. Today, we are sharing another live panel discussion from the 2022 Awesome Conference. This episode is part one of the Achievement Award panel chat. This panel highlights the five recipients of the Rising Startup Award: Raquel Vigueras, Amanda DeSutter, Lindsay Beaulieu, Betsy Hebert, and Sandra Pern. The panel was moderated by Miriam Johnson, CEO of Women Entrepreneurs of Saskatchewan. Listen in to hear these inspiring founders discuss business goals, challenges, as well as their life and entrepreneurial tips. Check out the episode description for links to their businesses. Enjoy.
Well, welcome to part one of the Achievement Award panel chat. So in the next 45 minutes, we're going to hear now from our Rising Star recipients and showcase a bit of their accomplishments. But these inspiring founders are paving the way for women in the food and beverage manufacturing sector in the East Canadian prairies. So thank you all for being here. We are going to start off, and already from the first moderated discussion to now, there's going to be things that are woven throughout this entire day, so I'm excited to kind of start to pull that apart as we get into this Q&A. But Raquel, nice to meet you. Your award specifically for branding. So Pablo Chili is distinct and an eye-catching brand. What advice do you have for companies who are wanting to establish a unique brand?
Thank you for that, by the way. Definitely research is the top thing when it comes to branding. You need to know all of your competitors, whether they're direct, indirect, whether you're working with industries that your consumers are, industries that they're interested in that aren't to do with your industry, so parallel industries. You need to know everything there is to know about all of the other products in the marketplace and learn how to differentiate yourself. So whether I'm working on Pueblo or whether I'm working with a client on their branding, I always start with just a ton of research. I have a degree in political science, which is basically just a degree in researching and writing papers. So for sure, research is the most important thing when it comes to branding. Once you can become an expert in your industry and knowing all of the other products that are available in the marketplace, then you can learn what is needed, what gap you can fill, how your brand can fill a void that the consumers aren't getting in other places. So when I'm working on a branding project, I become an expert in a short amount of time, and it just really helps to make sure that the product that I'm delivering, whether for myself or for a client, is something that the consumer needs and wants to see. Definitely that is, like, it's a boring answer, but research is the most important part.
Oh, I think it's critical for anyone that's going to be starting a business and walking through this. You know, when you are working with a client or even for yourself, like, how do you start to measure or understand when, you know, a brand identity isn't working anymore?
Well, it's directly related to sales, of course. And if a product is not visually appealing on the shelves and the product right next to it is, then you need to think about rebranding or going back to learning about what the consumer wants and needs. And so if you didn't do that research up front, then, and it shows once you get into the marketplace, then it will be directly related to your sales.
Can't agree more. Thank you so much. Amanda Lynn, gluten-free. So specifically around team development. You opened your gluten-free facility in 2018, and you grew from a one-woman business to a team of eight. What was the process like going from being that sole operator, you know, to now working with an entire team?
Hello. It was really great, in short. It actually started in 2015. when I was working by myself. And in 2018 is when we purchased our own facility, and we definitely had to bring a team on then. So at the beginning, like Matthew said, I recruited my family and my friends to help pinch when I was in a pinch, pun intended. And but then once, you know, we had interest from Sobeys and other stores, and we had to get more grit in the game, so we decided to get our own facility together so that way we could start building. And the process was not easy, so don't think it's easy, but it was definitely enjoyable, and I wouldn't have done it any other way. So my advice to anybody would be, make sure that you surround yourself with the right people first, not necessarily if they have like kitchen experience or whatever kind. You can teach that kind of teachable things. I can teach anybody to pinch pierogies or make a capitrol or do anything labeling, packaging, very, very easy. I can't teach positivity. I can't teach work ethic. I can't teach what morals and values you align yourself with. So knowing what my brand represented to me and what I wanted to work in our work culture is so, so huge. So when I told my staff about this award, and I said, this award is actually for you because I wouldn't get it without you. And I said, why do you like working here? And I'll take it to everybody here. And they said, the culture, Amanda, we have our values and you hold us accountable to them every day. It's different working for some places where they say one thing and you do another, but we treat each other with respect and dignity. It comes through in our language, to the music that we listen to in the kitchen, to what we wear, and to our brand and to our customers. They always expect high quality, a great tasting product every single time.
What you just shared on leadership is quite incredible. And I think that if we took notes on every word that you just said, that we could, that was remarkable. So thank you so much. You know, and in that theme, in especially when you think of entrepreneurship, a lot of times it starts with yourself and your mission and your vision and, you know, something that is a passion of yours. You know, so when you look at now your team, you know, how are you keeping yourself inspired and your team inspired now about, you know, your now the Amanda Lynn gluten-free mission?
Yeah. Every day. So I'm an idea factory and my staff know it. And so every day we think about crazy ideas, crazy pierogi flavors, crazy cabbage roll flavors. And we talk about it all the time, so much so now that they're coming up with crazy ideas. And so we really have a very collaborative environment, so, which is one thing. So, and I really believe in my people and I let them make decisions and we run with it. So our last pierogi variety that we did was a fall variety for squash and sage. It was actually developed by my production manager, and she dreamt it up and she said, Amanda, can we try this? And I said, yes. And so it was a really big move for me. It was my first pierogi variety that I didn't dream up. We ordered in the ingredients she wanted. We tried it. I was just there for tasting and we ran with it and we sold out in 3 days. So that was really great. And then, yeah, we did a second run of it. And so it was just a really cool testament to like her passion and dedication to our team and to the team saying that, hey, this is like, it's not Amanda only. We really are a team. And we do a lot of training. So anytime I can pick up any type of training in Winnipeg, we're really lucky. We have the World Trade Center in Winnipeg. They offer a ton of free online training, which is really great. We're part of the Food and Beverage Manitoba Association, so we partake in those events. Awesome. There's tons of events and training. So anything I can stick my staff in where they can take what we do every single day and put it out in a different application and talk to other people about what they do. It really, the learning that they take away is really secondary to like the, what they bring back to the store in a way of like how they feel they're proud to represent our brand and what they can do. So we are always motivated.
Another excellent answer. Thank you so much, Amanda. Lindsay, I love microgreens. So urban farming, congratulations on your award. I Love Microgreens has developed into a unique indoor urban farm. What are the benefits of urban farming?
So when I started the idea of urban farming, I was working on a field organic farm. And I was like, I really want to farm, but I don't have land. So I had to be creative and I had to be innovative. And so we were like, okay, let's start microgreen farming. So we opened up our first, and I've always dreamt big. So I found a space where I could get health inspected to grow so I can get my stuff out into stores right away. I feel, being an indigenous entrepreneur, that the reason why urban farming and indoor farming is so key is that we can get these to small communities. We can teach people how to grow. We can, you find so much value in growing your own food, and the taste and the nutritional value. So like, I am from Saskatchewan too. So like, my grassroots come from Buffalo Narrows. So if you look up there, there's the food scarcity. Like, that's a huge issue here. So as an urban farmer, I can teach other Indigenous people, not just Indigenous, but everybody else, like, that value of food. So that's my mission. That's my dream. I want to teach others to grow, to create food, because then my chef side comes out and I'm like, well, microgreens, you don't just need to throw on a salad or a thing. You can make sauces, you can make dressings, you can do this, you can add these nutritional value into every part of your diet. So yeah, that's my dream on urban farming and how I got into it. So
I love it. Yeah. Thank you. And, you know, I love microgreens, though. Also, you're talking about how integrated it can actually be into a diet, period, but it does promote healthy food and sustainability. Your business is a platform to talk about mental health and culture, which, you know, is a unique for a food brand. And how has your business opened the door to talking about mental health and actually sharing your culture? You touched on it in your first answer, but we'd love to find out more.
Being a Métis, like, I'm very proud of that. When I look at where my mom started, she wasn't proud. At my age, she wouldn't be able to say, I'm Métis, I'm proud. So I'm grateful for that, for the ability to share this. And whereas my mom wasn't able to share her culture as much, but now I find I'm able to be able, that spokesperson, to be like, this is what we do. We gather together, we tell jokes. We're silly people. But for me to be able to bring in a nutritional value food into a culture that we're still learning again, we're learning about food again. And that's just my, and like with mental health, we have a store in Gasoline Alley Farmers Market, and I have so many people that come to me that just are, they tell me their stories. I lost my father to suicide 8 years ago, and this is my grief journey to grow. So I found a positive environment to grow and to share that with others. So everybody, and I feel like I'm strong enough now that I can hear other people's stories, but I can also show them comfort in, I'm a survivor and I'm still going and I won't stop, because quitting is not in my vocabulary. So I feel like it's been an amazing, I just talk about being Métis and eating bannock, and I share my bannock with everybody at the Gasoline Alley Market that have never had bannock in their life, which was very shocking to me. But yeah, so yeah, it's, that's how I share my culture.
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing. You know, and it's, I think the other thing that there's a, being an entrepreneur, it can be just 24/7, 365. So it's not necessarily the 9 to 5. And, you know, especially when you've even, and I'm guesstimating because I don't really know with urban farming, but it would be something that you're not necessarily going, it's bad outside, I'm not doing this now. But, you know, with work-life balance, you know, how have you kind of gotten to a place that you kind of go, okay, this is working for me?
So with urban farming, it's a 24/7, 365 days a year. I haven't had a break in like 5 years. So so it's a little different than the traditional field farming. But my family is very integrated into my work life, and we actually share a facility with another founder, Chai Wallace, from the cohort 2, I think. So we've developed this where my family comes in, and me and her are very good to mentor off each other and throw ideas with each other. So I think that's helped me ground myself, but also bringing my boys into into our business.
I think one thing we are hearing is just how much of a team environment every single situation is. Doesn't even, you know, the scale and scope, it holds no bounds. It's critical on every facet. Betsy, congratulations on, Cocoa Beans Gluten-Free Bake Shop, specifically for investment. You have recently made some exciting business changes, and you are establishing a brand new business model and have started working with Farm Credit Canada. How did you decide it was time to approach an investor?
Thank you, by the way. And it has, I guess, COVID. So quick story, I still own a gluten-free bakery and kitchen, a restaurant in Winnipeg. And we'd been thriving and doing very well. And COVID came and, like with everybody else, threw us for a loop. And we've always asked our customers first, what do you miss? What would you buy? And if we could make it for you, how often would you buy it? And what came ringing loud and clear were baking mixes. Everybody loved our product, but they missed our cakes, cupcakes. And we were doing deliveries, but they said, we want mixes. And so because we already bring in all the ingredients, then it was not that this is easy, and it took a whole year, which seems far too long, but to get packaging and, your barcoding and your this and your that, all that stuff together, until we were finally able to bring 4 SKUs to market, which was super exciting. We're about a year and a bit into that. Of course, I thought it would go faster, but I'm learning. Everything takes time, and we're doing our best to let people know that they can find our mixes in different places. But then we brought in I had to bring in a business mentor because we managed through COVID with all the grants from the government, and we bought. We started buying manufacturing equipment through that to keep our staff busy. I didn't want to lose my staff. We have great staff, and similar to Amanda Lynn, or Amanda, sorry. and I didn't want to lose them, and they didn't want to lose their jobs. And so, we went into blending, mixing, and producing packaging, but then after all the funding sort of dried up, we found ourselves in some financial distress. And I thought, I worked so hard to make it through COVID. I am not giving up. It is not taking me down, even after. And so we met with a business advisor, and he taught me and my daughter, who does our bookkeeping, to look at financing a little bit differently. And I always wondered what creative financing is. I think I know now. And I don't know all the terms because that is not my gig. I am horrible with numbers. I could not tell you all I know capital, I know loan, I know line of credit, and I know I owe all those things. but beyond that, my business advisor has been really, really good in just walking me through the roller coaster that we've been on with selling our restaurant and moving more into a manufacturing facility. And then we will eventually, I hope, open a little retail space again. So it was due to necessity and not willing to give up, and seeing that debt can actually give you access to equipment to get you going. So while we were driving on the way here, we're from Winnipeg, I was buying a depositor from somebody in Maryland. And it was just because we're going to focus on some of the things that we can make large amounts of instead of a lot of little things. So it is scary bringing on that debt. It was not a decision we took lightly because we've worked so hard to pay off all our own personal debt and then to take debt. And to be honest, I'm 59. So how much debt do I want to carry? I'm not ready to give up yet, for sure.
I love it. Thank you so much. I think even at the first panel, Natasha really talked about just the need for investment and cash flow. And even as you scale, you know, you're talking about those pain points yourself. Yeah. And, you know, and to anyone else in this room, you know, what are, you know, do you have kind of, a few tips that you would give someone when they are ready to approach an investor?
Yeah, so I didn't even know I was actually approaching an investor. That's how, you know, I'm focused on the day-to-day stuff and making sure my staff have everything they need to do their jobs well. It was our business advisor who kind of said to me, Betsy, let's go and interview 4 different lending agencies or lending, and we want this product. We want these 2 products. To me, products have to be tangible, so this is hard for my brain to wrap around. But so we went to BDC. We went to Cambrian Credit Union, where we banked forever. We went to the RBC because they have a women's entrepreneurial program. Farm Credit Canada was the sponsor of I was in the second cohort. And to be honest, I did not listen to the financing really that well because I thought, I'm not going to need it. So I am really good at what I do, blah, blah, blah. And then here we are, hands up. We've just finished signing on. And I'm excited for what it's going to allow us to do. But we took his advice to heart and we interviewed BDC and what they were offering. We interviewed CIBC and what they could offer. And we felt, and this is, I'm going to directly plug FCC, because I felt like they'd been following my story for a while, which I was stunned. I didn't, you never know who's following. And they knew my history. They knew what I was all about. They knew our product. Aside from getting our financials together for them, they made it really smooth and easy, and they made it, they kept asking me, do you understand? Do you understand? Do you understand? And I'd be like, yeah, I think. And then I would get my business advisor to talk to them, and he really did the nuts and bolts of that. And now we have direct line with Farm Credit Canada with anything, any questions that we have when we make our first purchase, which we are doing now. I would say do your homework. It's always do your homework, do your homework. You do it for everything, and especially why not for financing? And you want to make sure that it makes the most sense for the business model you've set up. So,
very good. Yeah. Thank you, Betsy. We had one award winner who was not able to join us today. So, Sandra with Lake Life Caesar Company. I said that one okay. Lake Life Caesar Company. It is. It can be tough. So while she's not here, we do have a video from her, and she's specifically talking about her experience with co-packers.
Hello, fellow founders and awesome members. First off, we'd like to congratulate all of the award winners. Very well done. As well as all of the other business entrepreneurs there. Well done. This isn't easy, so congratulations. And thank you. Thank you for the Rising Startup Award. We are so grateful for this. We've truly been working hard at Lake Life Caesar Company to get up and off the ground and running. So we really appreciate and are grateful for the Rising Startup Award. So for the questions for the panel, what made us decide that it was time to scale up and start working with a co-packer? There were 2 main factors that came into play for us to decide it was time that we needed to grow and expand. We needed to ensure that we had product available for all of our vendors when they needed it or ordered it. So we never wanted to have an order that we couldn't fulfill. My husband and I are both school teachers as well. So to have our own facility just isn't in the cards for us yet. We don't have the time currently to invest in our own facility to be able to produce a product on that scale. So we decided to go with a co-packer so we could ensure we always had the product available for our vendors. Another big reason was that we are currently in food and beverage industry, or just getting into the food and beverage industry in lots of restaurants and bars, and we needed to have it produced in a CFIA facility in order to do that. So those were the two big reasons that we decided it was time for us to scale up. Some advice I would have is do your research. Every single co-packing facility is slightly different. They have slightly different equipment and different abilities to package certain products well. So do your research and ask lots of questions. The co-packers are out there, they're busy, but the Saskatchewan Food Center has been great for us. So yes, definitely do your research. The three tips I have for working with a co-packer would be to first build the relationship with the staff at your co-packing facility. They are the ones that are going to be taking care of your product and developing it. So you want them to love it as if it is their own. And if you have that relationship with them, they will definitely feel more invested in that. Another big thing is to be organized. We call them our production runs, and they have to be organized well in advance to ensure we have all of the product and packaging and labels and manpower, anything that we would need in order to make this work from point A to point B. So it is a lot of work, so be very organized and also be present. Be present during the production. It's important that you are there in and out if you can be, just to get started. Make sure everything is looking and tasting the way you would like it to, because at the end of the day, it is your product and you need it to ensure its quality. So thank you again for this award. I really appreciate it. I'm so sorry I can't be there. We are on a family vacation. And yes, I hope to attend the next awesome conference. Cheers.
Thank you, Sandra. Okay, so now we're moving into more of an entire panel question for the four of you. And, you know, this is a more general question, but really, you know, if you had one tip for an aspiring female entrepreneur, what would it be?
Don't give up. when I first started my business, I was funding it with my paychecks from my other job, and any extra money that I had at the end of the month was going towards buying bottles, figuring out where to buy or where to get my cheapest labels printed. I was using every extra penny that I had to put into my business instead of going out with friends or things that I had enjoyed doing previously. And it was hard, and it's still hard, especially running my business full time now, but don't give up. It's worth it. And also lean on the supports that you have. Like my parents personally, they give me so much, and they have just been absolutely amazing. And I'm in my 30s now, and I can still say, Dad, can you go to Calgary on Tuesday to pick up 2 pallets of bottles for me, please? And he will. He'll do it. He'll drive the 6 hours to Calgary to go pick up my bottles for me. So lean on all of the supports that you have, because it's needed.
That's phenomenal. Thank you, Amanda.
If you want something you've never had, you have to do something you've never done. That has been my motto all this year. And well, actually, that was last year. But that's my, yeah, so that was last year. This year, it's live with intention. But last year, I did a lot of growth and just a lot of learning. And really, if you really want something different, then you have to be different. You have to do different. You have to try something different. And it doesn't have to be big. It can be small. So just... If you're stuck in a result or you want to try something, like, just try it different. Listen differently. Go somewhere that makes you uncomfortable, like in a good way, right? Like, attend a different type of conference. Talk to somebody new. Don't talk about the lunch when we have lunch. Talk about, like, business things. Like, what do you do in business? And, like, how can we work together? How can we serve each other? That kind of stuff, right? Those conversations, especially in this kind of setting, are invaluable. Also, read. Take time to read. There's so many good books out there. So make sure that you indulge in some of them, because you'll need to relax too.
Yes. Lindsay, what are your thoughts?
Oh, sorry. That's okay. One thing that I've really learned is to, like, be compassionate to yourself and just guide yourself with grace. So, like, don't be so hard on yourself. So you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make lots of them. But how to problem solve and how to be creative and how to fix those and view those mistakes as, like, a learning experience rather than, oh, I failed. Be like, oh, that didn't work. What can I do that's different? So just guide yourself with that and be compassionate and graceful to yourself as a person so you don't give up. So, yeah.
Thank you. And Betsy?
I could have chosen any of those, all of them. It's, yeah. For me, I'm going to choose passion. If you are not passionate about your product, nobody else will be. And I find it's passion that drives me. Passion for my customers, passion for my a good working relationship within my staff. Passion that I can share with my family, even though they're so sick of it. but if I wasn't passionate about helping people want to eat really good gluten-free food, I could have given up a long time ago, because it's not easy. And especially, I feel like in the last, I've started about 12 years ago, and people laughed at me because I was doing gluten-free. But I didn't let that get to me, because I knew I was celiac. Half my family is celiac. It's not going away. And so that has been the driving force of me doing what I do, along with don't give up, be compassionate, and you know, like, all of the things everybody has already said, but it's the passion that I have to do good things for good people, and yeah, well, for everyone, yeah.
Now we're opening this to Q&A. Do we have any questions specifically for this panel and their journey to date?
So just a quick question for all of you. Would you do it again?
Yes. Yes, I only have one regret in life, and that was not having a videographer at my wedding.
I knew how much hard work it would be, I would do it anyway, because I love a challenge. I would just do it differently, I think. I would do a lot of things differently. But some things you only learn, right, from doing them. And then, yeah. I wish I could have started younger, but then gluten-free wasn't really, there weren't many options. And so, because I think I have a lot of life to give yet, but
I absolutely would. The best part of owning a hot sauce business is I can call myself the sixth Spice Girl. And that has been a childhood dream of mine since I was very little. So I would absolutely do it again just for the title.
Yeah, I would do it. I'm in the middle of planning this huge farm agriculture business right now, and I'm taking everything that I learned from farming and bringing product to like my salads and my dressings, and taking that information and growing bigger. So that's, yeah, would do it all over again.
Thank you for your question, Karen. Perfect. Thank you all for your questions. Thank you, panelists, for being so open and honest and willing to share with this room. You know, if anyone doesn't follow these individuals yet on social, please go ahead and do that. There are links to their businesses are also on the conference agenda, but each of these individuals also put time and effort into, you know, sharing their stories. I know even Raquel and Pueblo are utilizing Great Cup as a opportunity to, you know, utilize her product with our Harbor Landing Village in specially spiced Caesars through the celebration. So go and see what everyone's doing and thinking differently and outside the box. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Awesome Program is an initiative of the Saskatchewan Food Centre and is funded by Prairies Economic Development Canada through the Women Entrepreneurship Strategy Ecosystem Fund. We are here to support women-owned food businesses through education, advising, and industry connections. Although we are based in Saskatoon, we serve members in Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and Alberta. For more information, visit the show notes or head to our website at beawesome.ca.